You're listening to The Dollop on the All Things Comedy Network. Guys, we're on tour. We're going to be hitting Australia next. We are going to be in Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide, Byron Bay, Canberra, Sydney, Melbourne, Hobart, Melbourne again. Second show has been added in Melbourne, like I said. Will Anderson will be our guest. Will be our guest. That is on the 29th of October. Also, we're going to be in Washington, D.C., Boston, Royal Oak, Michigan, Chicago, Dallas, Austin, Houston. We have added a second show in Boston and called it, quote, his jam pad.
Jam pad?
I'm the fucking hippo guy.
Dave, okay.
My name's Gary.
Wait.
Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the Tickling Podcast.
Okay.
This is like anarchy.
On a five-part confession.
My rules of play.
Now hit him with the puppy. You both present sick arguments.
No sleep till hippo.
No sleep till hippo.
Action part.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
Rhoda. Rhoda at the court.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth, from the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
Guys, we are brought to you by brooklinen.com. Brooklinen Sheets named the winner of the best online betting category by Good Housekeeping. They were founded by a husband-wife team who thought that people should have really high-quality five-star hotel sheets without the huge markup. And they did it. They took out the middleman. Now you can get really, really, really nice sheets. I have a pair. Mine are pretty sweet. I sleep on them. Gareth has a pair. He got gray ones. I'm not like that, but they do have all kinds of colors. You can get in there and get those. So Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I have ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code TheDollop at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code TheDollop at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code TheDollop, Brooklinen. We're also brought to you by a Ritual vitamin supplement. Multivitamins. What's in there? Yeah, nobody knows because there's nothing listed on the side. There's a woman named Kat Schneider. She was taking vitamins one morning and she looks at her bottle of pills and she's like, oh, that's weird. There's nothing here. So she starts looking around and finds out there's all kinds of nasty shit in vitamins, animal parts, plastic byproducts, even stuff they used to make tires. So she went and created her own Ritual. And you can go to the website, and it tells you all of the ingredients that are in there. Clean, high-quality stuff. They're totally vegan. No soy, no GMOs, no sugar, no weird animal parts, no bullshit. And I think that's important because my wife and I, when we were trying to make our kid Finn, she was trying to eat as healthy as pasta. You don't know. You could be eating rat eyes, but not in Ritual. It's all listed what's there on the website. 95% of women do not get the vitamins and minerals they need on a daily basis, and Ritual created a smarter vitamin with the 9 essential ingredients women lack most. So go to ritual.com/dollop. Choose clean ingredients that are backed by science. Sign up now at ritual.com/dollop.
It's cute, and it'll be in Albany next weekend if anybody wants to come see it at the Funny Bun. People say it's a long drive. It's not a long drive. Get a party bus. Drive. Bring some of your friends. Come down to Albany next weekend. Funny
just head
Bone.
Up. I know you guys like to just
Friday,
drive.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday show's all Christian, so that's fun.
Christian show.
It's all God stuff.
You got at least half this audience at least once a month drives up to the Funny Bones in Albany.
Yeah.
Albany. And checks out a comedy show.
Albany.
You're listening to The Dollop. We are an American history podcast. Now, each week, I, iPad owner, eater of bakeries.
You actually eat where they make the bread? The facility? That's crazy.
Lover
oh,
of labradoodles.
Oh. Creepy way to put it.
Also known as a labradoodle daddy. Dave
Very
Anthony
weird.
Reads a story from American history to his friend.
Gareth Reynolds, who has gold shoes.
That's right. 1966!
Ooh. Love it. Love it.
Homosexual sex.
Oh. I mean, you're sure, yeah.
We do it.
Yeah.
I'm married, but we still do it.
Yeah.
We're on the road. We get one hotel room.
Yeah.
Homosexual sex was illegal in every state except for Illinois.
That is... I mean, I know that... first of all, it's great about Illinois. They're like, you want to fuck, come here. But it is really crazy to imagine that in this day and age that you could not have gay sex. Like, what are you supposed to do? You're just like, well, fuck, nothing. I'll cut it off. I'm a eunuch.
It's fucking crazy.
I'll just tie it in a knot and hang.
I do that. In New York, it was a misdemeanor that could get you 6 months in prison.
Hello, I'm misdemeanor.
No laws protected gay men or women from discrimination. There were no openly gay politicians, no gay characters on TV, no openly gay cops, teachers, doctors, lawyers, fucking anything.
It feels like there weren't a lot of out gay people.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I think that's the point I was making.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to put a finer point on it.
They didn't know.
No, of course. They were like, that's weird. And I was like, here's the pattern. No gays.
So you're late, so gay people, it's a bummer. 1966. You're caught up.
You missed
so, New York City had the largest gay population in the United States.
How do you even know that, though?
How do I know that?
How does society know that if you've completely banned homosexuality, in a sense? You're just sort of like, all right, guys, closed door meeting. Who really is gay? You promise it's okay to say?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to try to figure out how many gay people we have. Everyone just close their eyes, and if you're gay, say, I'm gay.
I'm gay.
We got a lot of gays here.
Yeah. My eyes were open, too. I just wanted to know who I could fuck. Pretty pickings.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So Greenwich Village was the heart of where the gay people lived in New York City. Cops would patrol bars and bathhouses and outdoor cruising spots.
That's so fucking crazy to be on gay patrol.
What do you got? What do you got tonight, Bob? I got the Knicks game. What are you doing?
I'm doing the gay stoppo. We're trying to see if there's gays wandering around. You know, I just go up to a guy. I'm like, hey, wouldn't you rather something fruitier than a beer? And if he says yeah, downtown.
Anyway, I'm gonna watch the Knicks.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest. I kind of like what I do. I like my guys. It's cool. Well, I mean, I'm a bachelor. I mean, you know that. I'm single. And it's just cool to see guys who live that alternative life and embrace it. Not that I would want it, but okay. What is flesh from their taste like? I guess that's the question. Well, what? All right, man.
You like the Knicks?
Huh?
Knicks?
Dicks?
Never mind. Cops would plant microphones in park benches.
I think, just continue. I don't know. Let's see. I'd like to see where this is going.
So gay guys would have to cruise and they'd have to go to fucking parks to meet each other because they couldn't do it anywhere else. So they started fucking bugging benches. They would use peepholes and two-way mirrors in public restrooms.
You're not allowed to call weights. I hate to...
Yeah, you don't get to... He does the weights.
Yeah, but wait.
No, you're right. That was an appropriate rate, but wait, but he gets to yell it. Yeah, they would put peepholes and two-way mirrors in bathrooms and then watch.
Peepholes in bathrooms?
Yeah, where you put your little...
Boy, that's a dangerous thing because you're like 3 inches away from a glory hole, which is a different vision.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, I think we got one.
Jesus Christ, the cocks are coming at me.
I put my mouth up to the eye hole. It's not good.
Murmur, 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 murmur.
Is that what a blowjob sounds like?
From where I've been involved in them, yeah. I mean, I'm upward. I'm looking down. I'm like, whoa, lucky.
In 1966, over 100 men were arrested each week for homosexual solicitation.
And then you put all these men in the same cell. It really is. I'm not even trying to be an asshole, but it's just like, this is such a like sweep under the rug solution. You're like, all right, don't be gay no more, boys. Knock off how you feel.
Everybody in the same house.
Oh.
Cops would use coercion and aggressive tactics. Now, I'm using just first names in this. A man named Doric, quote, "A stranger came up and offered to buy me a drink. I said, no, leave me alone. I'm in a rotten mood. Then I left the bar and went to another bar, and the guy followed me. Doric told him to get away, and he left, and he went to a third bar, and the guy showed up again. Quote, I yielded and accepted the drink, but warned him, look, I'm not interested in you. I've had a bad day. If you're going to follow me around, yeah, you can buy me a drink, but I'm not going to be good company. Then the guy pulled out his badge and arrested him.
Oh, wow. Fuck, I mean, yeah, okay, well, yeah.
Yeah. Gay men gathered on Central Park West between 59th and 86th Street. The long benches from corner to corner would be full of gay men, hundreds and thousands. And then the cops would roll by in a car, shine the lights on them, and announce, move on, keep moving, faggots, keep moving. Everyone would start walking off like they were leaving, and then when the cop cars left, they'd go back to the benches and hang out.
Well, we would do that in high school for parties. I mean, that's not just gay behavior. It's like once they leave, you're like, okay, we can have fun again. We can do it. Yeah. They're fucking gone for 20.
So that's basically how they did it all night.
Okay.
Empty unlocked trucks at the docks on Hudson also became a meeting place.
Wow.
Marty, quote, there would sometimes be 300 people in a truck.
So these are like rider moving trucks.
These are big trucks.
These are huge trucks. 300 dude. Is there even enough room to fuck?
That's tight.
Can you even do anything?
Well, apparently they could.
Okay, yeah. Resourceful.
If we had our choice, we would have been happier checking into a hotel like other people, but that wasn't an option. If you didn't have an apartment or roommates, the only option was to have, or had roommates, the only option was to have sex in Central Park or trucks or some out-of-the-way place. You didn't know from one minute to the next what was going to happen, so it was safer to be with 200 people in the back of a truck.
Wow, Jesus.
I mean, the systems you come up with under oppression.
Life finds a way, Dave. Finds a way.
Really amazing.
But so in this era, could you not check into a hotel with another guy?
Nope.
What if you were like two dudes who were just like, we're ad men?
Then I'd arrest you.
We're riding jingles up there. No, you're fucking. We're not stupid.
I think you could be raided. So I think that if...
So you could check in with another man, you just had to be comfortable with defending your sexuality in the middle of the night.
Yeah, like if you were in the same bed and the cops kick in the door, that's it. But if you're two ad men, hopefully you're...
Jingle writers.
If you're two jingle writers and you're in bed, I guess you could say, like, we're working on a campaign for...
Kit Kat. Break me off a piece. Come on, from the top.
Why's your dick in his mouth?
That's why I write the best.
We receive.
I say the jingle through his dick, and it goes into his head, and he writes it down.
That's why they call us madmen.
We're jingle writers.
So the trucks would also be raided two or three times a night. Cops would come up and bang their nightsticks against the sides of the truck, and everybody would run out, and the cops would try to grab them as they ran by and beat them with nightsticks.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it really is.
Just a cop on the beat.
Dare I say it's a flawed system we have going on here.
It's not great. In 1845...
18?
Yeah. Okay. New York State had passed a law to stop armed uprising by tenant farmers who wore disguises when they attacked cops. So New York City in the 1960s was using that law to crack down on transvestites. The cops arrested any person wearing fewer than three articles of clothing appropriate to their sex.
Fucking A. I mean, my God.
What if you just had on, like,
shorts
and a top? What?
The fashion police.
Yeah, I mean, literally the fashion police.
Yeah, literally just like fucking, yeah, okay, normal.
But except for socks. Socks weren't included. Socks can go either way. Socks are not, well, socks are cis.
I thought you weren't allowed
socks
to go either way.
Socks are cis.
Okay.
All so socks are cis.
Socks are fine, right. So, but you had to, if you were a guy, you would need a shirt and pants and...
If you had women's underwear on and like a lady top, and then you'd have to have one other thing, right?
Could I wear lady underwear under my jeans?
Oh, no. If you were just wearing three articles of clothing, fewer, so...
Fewer than three?
Yeah.
Any yeah, person as a man, wearing, you know... Okay.
Any person wearing fewer than three articles of clothing appropriate to their sex. So they have less than...
It's... Okay.
I mean, this is why you don't follow laws from the 1840s. So this is often used against drag queens. Also, gays could not drink in a bar. The state liquor authority categorized them as lewd and dissolute, and bars could be closed down if gays were found drinking.
Jesus Christ.
But then the...
You this, can't... okay, sorry.
But then the state Supreme Court ruled gay men could drink in bars.
Well, that was a different time.
Then we're going to turn
that
back.
Overturned.
That's going to be repealed. But this did not stop police harassment. One bar had a sign that said, quote, "Patrons must face the bar while drinking." Because if they turned around...
How relaxing.
If they turned around, it was considered cruising.
So, what the fuck? I mean, you are literally not allowed to look at another person of your same gender without it being fucking gay. Yeah.
So, cool.
It's for sure cool. Okay.
So, with all this illegality, the mob started running gay bars.
They're always there for us, the mob. They always somehow have our back. Yo, you got a problem? Hey.
Hey, we're very progressive.
Hey, we're very progressive here. Drinks are twice as much, but you can turn around and look at whatever you want to look at.
We're in the thing about the mob is we kill guys, we take their property and extortion.
Yeah,
but though we're for civil rights.
Right next to the coat room is the fuck room. You boys can go in there, do whatever you want to do. We got a fuck room.
Costs a lot of money to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want to come out of the fuck room? It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But you go in there, you fuck whoever you want.
Yeah, do whatever you like. Lights are off, lights are on, whatever you want.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, it's like that closet in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It opens up, fucking go crazy. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Go fucking play with that lion, do your thing with the witch. I don't give a fuck. Just fucking go in there and do the shit.
My two shits given.
Yeah.
Jimmy Nipples is in there right now. Get
Hello.
In there.
Hello. Hey, it's me, Jimmy Nipples. They jiggle when I giggle. It's stuck.
Hey, I got a new nickname, Jimmy Pierce Nipples. I've been hanging out at the gay bar.
Yeah.
Things got a little weird.
Yeah.
That back room is something. I couldn't get out of there.
Oh, I think I fucked a lion.
That's Jim. So the gay bars, the mob would pay off the cops, and they'd also exploit the gay men and charge them much more than they would at a regular bar. And then the mob came up with a new idea.
Oh, good.
Run gay bars as private clubs. So this would make it harder for the cops to do raids. Cops would need a warrant to get in. They charged annual dues and admission to special rooms.
Okay.
I love that you can get in, but then it's like, oh, you want to go in the fuck room? It's $100.
And that you have to pay it if you're gay. You're like, I need to set aside my lifestyle fee, as I call it, where I'm allowed to be me.
In 1966, mob guy Fat Tony...
He was skinny. It was ironic.
...turned the Stonewall Inn at 53 Christopher Street into a gay club. Tony's partners were Zuki Zarfus.
Hey, what's up?
Tony the Sniff.
Hey, I smelled it.
And Maddie the Horse.
Hey, brr, it's cold in here, huh? Hey, I sleep standing up.
Ed the Skull Murphy was the manager.
Hey, it keeps my brain in the place. Go on forever.
I know.
Make them up. They're laughing, finally.
Everything sold came from mob suppliers, the liquor, the cigarettes, the music in the jukebox, and, of course, drugs. The front windows were blacked out and reinforced with plywood and 2x4s. The thick oak doors had steel inside them and a bunch of locks. Okay. Blonde Frankie...
I diet.
...manned the door, and he had a photographic memory.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't a mob guy.
What, he's a Rhodes Scholar, and he's working the door at a private club?
You know, I was a presidential candidate.
He's a gay guy that they picked around the door because he had a photographic memory.
Okay. So says you.
Stonewall paid cops $1,200 a month.
Okay. But so the cops are not going to raid based on that fee? Or the whole reason they have a private club is to not get raided, right?
Yeah, but they also, they can get a warrant.
Just to make sure.
In there. Yeah.
Right.
Men danced openly with each other, which was rare in New York. A gentleman named Chris, the first time he went, quote, there were men dancing with men. There were several couples dancing together. I had such a thrill in my stomach. It was like an electric shock. It was so fucking exciting.
I fucking bet. It has to be. Oh, thank God.
Imagine that. You can never fucking be yourself.
Yeah.
And finally the mob gives you a chance to be yourself.
Yeah.
It's just the American story.
Yeah,
so.
No, it really is. It's what we were really founded upon.
Yeah. Stonewall allowed some to be who they were, and people accepted themselves as gay at the Stonewall.
Was there ever a straight guy who was like, is this a racquetball club? Like to sign up for the private... My God, wait a minute. Well, I went in the wrong room. Where's Squash?
I'm Squash.
No, different... all right.
You
want to
see why they call me
Squash? Well, I mean, I paid the fee.
That's not why they call me Squash.
I paid the fee.
Do you have a friend? So Stonewall Inn became the gay bar in the city. It was the street queen hangout, but all types of people were there. Quote, the club was the favorite hangout of the freest of the gay people, those most likely to be labeled fag and drag queen, and there was the occasional, quote, tough lesbian.
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably very excited, too, to be able to go somewhere.
Be a tough lesbian.
Yeah.
The cops would warn the bar ahead of time they were going to raid.
That actually, in a way, kind of puts a damper on the whole raid, though, doesn't it?
Well, they can clear everything out.
We'll be there tomorrow.
They can clear out all the booze and just have a little bit of booze. They can get rid of the employees that are important and have other guys there to be sacrificial lambs to be arrested.
Oh, right.
Okay. Nice. In 1969, during a mayoral election, gay bars became an issue. At the end of June, 5 gay bars were raided in 3 weeks. 3 of those were the most popular. The Checkerboard, the Telstar, and the Sewer. I mean,
I'll tell you which one I'd go to last.
I mean, the Sewer.
It's just Ninja Turtles. Yeah. You're gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're gay Ninja Turtles, yeah, for sure.
They all closed for good after the raids. On Tuesday, June 24th, Inspector Seymour Pine of the Public Morals Division led a raid on the Stonewall Inn. He arrested employees and confiscated the liquor. 3 days later, well, after he did the raid, the mob guy was like, hey, come back tomorrow, Inspector, we'll be open. Like, he just kind of...
Like, fuck you?
Yeah, threw in his face. 3 days later, on Friday, Pine came with a warrant to seize the booze and cut up the bars.
Cut it up?
Literally cut up the bar.
Like, what do you
not,
mean?
Not the building, but the actual bar that you put drinks on. Like, yeah. Like,
with what, knives?
Or chainsaws or fucking whatever.
Oh, well, that's different. That's a different story.
You thought he was going to stab the bar?
I was picturing, like, a few butter knives. Like, God damn it.
Fuck you.
No more gay shit.
This is from the cops, you
son of a... What is
this,
mahogany? It's very thick. It's very thick.
I shagged the bar. So, he had undercover police women to help in the arrest of transvestites. I like that you're like, woo!
Yeah.
No, they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not a good guy.
So, it was the police women's job to examine and see if they were men wearing women's clothes, at which point they'd be arrested. If they were post-op, they would be fine.
There'd be... What a
so
weird...
The cop,
that is...
Look, it's a heartbeat. As a cop, it's one of the beats you don't want to check to see if someone has had a sex change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get down there and see if your stuff's still innie or an outie.
Okay.
Hey, you got an innie now.
Yeah.
You're free.
Thank you. No, I'm not. But the nuance to, like, what, like, it just is, I mean, it's still not even right, but the nuance to what, we're like, well, that's okay. We're not crazy. That, you know, if you had an operation,
yeah,
we're not weirdos.
Nuts.
Then you can go.
We're not
creeps. Committed. You're committed. You put a ring on it, as we like to say down at the station. You put a ring on it, okay?
So he sent the police women in first and then waited outside with his crew. It took a long time, and then finally he just went inside, and then he called the precinct for backup. The lights were turned on. Customers started running around and freaking out to find their friends. It's a big club. Some worried out loud they would lose their job or their family would find out. So a lot of these guys are married with kids.
Well, it's really weird how someone will pick up a fake lifestyle if you tell them the one they want to have is bullshit.
Or illegal.
Yeah. It's really strange how that works.
The cops sealed the door. It's totally chaotic. Then the cops ordered everyone to get in lines with their IDs out. And the undercover cops pointed out the employees, and other cops started grabbing the booze. They started filing customers out and destroying the bar, ripping up the benches. Inspector Pine, quote, "We had a couple of transvestites who gave us a lot of flack." They were refusing to go into the bathrooms to be inspected.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Fuck, I mean...
What? You don't want to go into the bathroom and have someone look at your junk?
No.
Wow, why?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't know, weird. Old-fashioned, I guess, yeah. Yeah, not my bag, baby.
How about you respect the law?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's always made a lot of sense.
Pine decided he would arrest them instead and the staff and put them in the back room. Maria, quote, "My biggest fear was that I would get arrested. My second biggest fear is that my picture would be in the newspaper or on TV in my mother's dress." Just... wearing his mom's dress. She's got her mom's dress on. And her mom would be like, "What the fuck? Get your own fucking dress."
Yeah. I'm livid. "I'm sorry, Mom. I should have said something about the dress." Good Lord. They only made two of those.
It's great.
Some respect.
But there are like 200 people inside. So it's taken a long time to get them out because each person had to pull out their ID at the front. If they didn't have ID, they were put in the coat room for questioning. So it's 2 a.m. at this point.
What a fun night.
A great night.
Yeah.
So the cops expected everyone to leave as usual. Instead, they started standing out on the street and watching.
Okay.
So it's a very hot night, and people are getting annoyed it was taking so long and worried something else was going on inside. Joel, quote, "So the more ostentatious drag queens walking in twos and threes down the street. They were marching, trying to show a little anger or annoyance and making some noise."
I like.
A reporter for the Village Voice watched from his apartment as the crowd grew and grew. And then he put on his press pass and went down.
Nerd. Okay, ready to go. Official. Puts his little slip in his hat. Mm-hmm, they'll know. I'm a man of the press.
So the crowd outside the Stonewall is now over 100. And people start cheering whenever a club favorite came out.
Wow, that's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the circumstance. If you get applause, you're like, "Thank you so much."
And then...
Yeah, it feels a little... sorry, it doesn't work for Gary Chance. It's different.
And then people started camping it up as they came out when the crowd started cheering.
Right.
They're taking bows... making the best of it. The reactions got bigger and bigger.
Okay.
One guy came out and swished by the detective at the door and said, quote, "Hello there, fella."
Swished.
Oh, the best.
What is a swish? Could you demonstrate?
What is a swish?
No.
I don't...
What do you picture?
I think you do a little...
Yeah, that's what I picture. Yeah. A little sort of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a swish.
Yeah.
Is that a good swish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swished, ma'am.
Yeah. So he gives him a little So it starts to become a big show. The crowd's getting more and more excited.
So the
about
police are like, God damn it, we've given them a platform.
But the crowd's like now getting into it. Yeah. They're like, who's coming out next? Is Larry in
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
like they're
yeah.
all
it
they're
is
talking
literally
about who's coming
a coming out,
out
party.
They're starting to talk about who's coming out, and some threw their arms up when they came out and did like a V as if they're performers coming on a stage, like, hey!
Dave, I think we're all living in the shadow of the Swisher.
Then a man yelled, quote, shit, man, they's out like always to chase us down and give us a good fuck. They ain't got nothing else to do during the summer. So that put a little, everyone was like, oh, yeah, no, it's...
Wait, what?
That's fucked up.
Well, I don't exactly understand what it was said.
He's saying that the cops don't have anything else to do but fuck with them.
Right, okay, yeah. Throwing fuck... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a different... Not a good... No, he's not talking about, like, a really good fuck. He's
yeah.
Not like, he's not like, the cops really are great lay.
Context matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A paddy wagon pulled up.
More good news.
At this point, all that was left was to load people into the wagon. But the crowd was now big. Inspector Pine did not like the look of it. Quote, it was really frightening. So many showed up immediately, it was as if a signal was given. And that the usual thing, and that was the usual thing, because usually when we went to work, everybody disappeared. They were glad to get away. But this night was something different. Instead of the homosexuals slinking off, they remained there. And their friends came. It was a real meeting of the homosexuals.
That you caused, Inspector Pine. You set the evite, sir. You've invited the party.
You guys are behaving weird. You're supposed to slink off, but you're like hanging out and being all gay together. What's going on?
It's like you're proud to be yourselves, which is troubling.
You know you're outside, right?
We're going to need a bigger paddy wagon.
Pine called the second paddy wagon.
Happens.
But when the officer with the radio made the call, he got back the response, quote, disregard that call.
Calling off the second paddy.
Calling off the second paddy.
Methinks there's a development.
So the mobsters went in the wagons first.
Okay.
Then bartenders, hat check boys, and John, the black man's room attendant.
Sorry, hat check boys go in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then...
Because it was a hat crime.
Yeah, you right. can't. They just have... I mean, obviously people have lost their hats, so there's a hat situation.
Yeah.
So the hat guy's got to go down.
Before hate crime, there was hat crime.
Hat crime is the first crime. Then they took out three full in drag who were described as, quote, being among the more blatant queens. So blatant.
Yes.
One was Maria, quote, the cop who put me into the wagon was kind of teasing and flirting with me when he helped get me in. He said, Jesus, I can't believe you're a boy. And I said, I'm not a boy. You don't understand it. I'm a girl, but it's really hard for me to explain to you.
Yeah, like in the... Like while getting lifted in, you're like, it's actually a lot longer than... I don't have time. I really... It's a deep thing.
See, gender isn't... Oh, God.
Hold on, I'm going to sit back and find out what's going on with this person. I'm caring.
A police officer shoved the drag queen, and she hit him over the head with her purse.
Love it. That's got to always be fun, no matter what's going on, to fucking throw a purse on someone's head.
It's got to be great to hit someone with a purse, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And then he clubbed her.
Things sometimes take a dark turn after fun on the dollop.
I mean, anger passed through the crowd. Then someone yelled to turn the paddy wagon over.
Oh, fuck off. Wow. Quite a move.
Now, people were pissed because it was taking so long, which was unusual. So they assumed that the customers inside were being beaten by the cops, which is not a crazy assumption to make based on what cops do.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So cops started warning the crowd to back off. A guy in a dark red T-shirt yelled, quote, "Nobody's going to fuck around with me. I ain't going to take this shit."
Oh, yes. Go, sir, go.
And then he danced in and out of the crowd.
Hey. We'll take it.
Sir, you are the best. You're great.
Yeah, yeah.
I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
People started going to payphones and calling friends, telling them to get down to the Stonewall.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Others ran through the village screaming that the Stonewall was being busted.
Dude, they are Paul Revere-ing the streets to go fuck them up.
Gay Paul Revere.
Love it. Huh?
Gay Paul Revere.
Sure.
No, I'm saying Paul Revere was gay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, well, it takes on a different meaning for what he was saying then.
That's right.
Where are they, Paul? Huh? Oh, they're back there. Oh. Yeah, they're attacking us. Excuse me.
Someone yelled that the Stonewall hadn't paid off the cops. So the crowd started throwing coins at the paddy wagon.
It's a little late to get a Kickstarter going in the crowd.
Then a full beer can hit the door. Tom, quote, "The crowd began shouting for different people that they knew who were being held inside. We want Tommy, the blonde drag queen."
Wow.
The next customer taken out was described as a, quote, "husky bull dyke of bigger size with a nasty temper." That's the police.
Well, it might be because of how they describe her. Wonder if she's sassing over that.
She was arrested for not wearing three pieces of clothing specific to her gender.
Unreal. The law, I mean, that is quite the law.
Yeah, she's wearing fucking jeans and a fucking
jacket.
Yeah,
by the way, the reason that law got changed is because it does not favor the South any longer. Just walking into a 7-Eleven with a T-shirt and moccasins like, "Let me get it." Under arrest for what, motherfucker? No, I don't think so.
It also got confusing. Like, where do you classify, like, Joe Piscopo weight pants? Weightlifting pants? Like, where does that come down?
Sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to slow down.
The Joe Piscopo, where he wears the fucking pants, you're like,
what are Joe Piscopo pants?
Fucking look it up, bitch. Joe Piscopo pants are, you're like, I could go either way, man. I don't know.
Are they just, like, one note? Is that why they're called that?
They look like pajamas almost, right? Very light. Very light, and they.
I'm very lost here.
Billowy.
Pillowy? Like billowy. Hammer pants?
Like, make like a shorter hammer pant.
A shorter hammer pant? You mean a hammer short? I'm out of here.
No, like a.
Are you going to literally look it up?
Man, yeah, no, we're going in.
Yeah, we all deserve to know what the fuck Piscopo pants look like, goddammit. And by the way, it's not going to come up on the first Google. Oh, you got it right here. Thank you, darling. Okay, let's have a look here.
No, it did come up on the first.
Oh, wow. Holy fuck. Well, bring up a bigger image so they can see it, because I've been spoiled. I mean, this looks like what, like, Buccaneers from the Midwest would wear. This is just, holy shit, what an era, thank you.
Oh, that didn't come up on mine. What'd you put in, Joe Piscopo pants?
Oh, yeah, she's proud, too. She's like, yeah, dumbass. Fucking Piscopo pants.
I'm just getting him in suits. Jesus Christ, he's such
a fucking... By the way, Joe Piscopo right now, he's like, someone's looking me up. I got an alert. Honey, look.
He's just such a fucking idiot. I mean, it's just amazing.
But wait, he would work out in those specifically?
He wore them all the time.
Okay.
They're not coming up on mine. I don't know why.
Sure. Maybe they
never
existed,
Dave. I feel like I let everybody
down. It's like the Berenstain Bears.
What just happened? Yeah. What's that? Stein? What's happening right
it's
now?
It's a whole thing. There's not enough time to explain the Berenstain Bears thing. When I grew up, it was the Berenstain Bears. And it is not that anymore. And we all think that it means we're in a simulation. Okay, back to the story. Don't worry, fuck Joe Piscopo.
This isn't Piscopo, but these are the pants. I mean,
yes.
They're
Zumbas.
Like a guy wearing pajamas outside.
Zumbas or whatever.
Like a Piscopo situation. I don't know if that was worth it.
Man, if you're listening right now, you're like, oh, for God's sake.
No, they're at home. They're Googling Piscopo pants.
No, they're some dude is driving right now like, shut the fuck up. Shut up, assholes. Jesus Christ. Listen, they've all been there. They're like, yeah. We couldn't remember Rikers Island.
Should we start selling Piscopo pants as merch?
Fosdike, yeah.
That means you have to wear them.
Gladly, dog.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. So this woman, our as described as husky bull dyke, she's handcuffed, and they pushed her out the door. Roughly, she starts fighting back.
With cuffs on. Tough position. You're operating from a position of lower status.
She's a fucking badass. A guy, quote, there were three or four policemen on her. She fought them all the way from the Stonewall Inn's entrance to the back door of a waiting police car. Once inside the car, she slid back out and battled the police all the way back to the entrance of Stonewall. She's just fucking badass.
How did she slip out of a car? She's Vapor?
She's John McClane from fucking Die Hard. You can't stop her.
John McClane can't get out of a locked police car. He's got limits.
So she gets back to the entrance of the Stonewall, and then they pull her back to the police car. The fighting lasted over 5 minutes.
Fuck.
Yeah.
By the way, 5 minutes of fighting feels like an hour and a half of fighting.
So fucking great. So they're pushing her in the car. As she's being shoved into the car, she yells at the crowd, quote, why don't you guys do something?
Feels like that's getting yelled in that voice a lot nowadays.
The crowd.
Oh, sorry, too soon? Jesus. We live in too soon. Hey, Dave, it's not hard to lose this crowd. FYI.
So the crowd rushed the cop cars. They took her advice. They're like, yeah, why don't we do something?
We should fuck them up.
So they rush the cop cars and start rocking them, screaming for the cops to let her go. Quote, the fun mood disappeared real fast.
Wait, what? By the way, sorry, who's labeling a fun mood in this right now? Boy, this really took a turn, huh? What a party.
Some of the people who were arrested got out of the paddy wagons because there weren't enough cops to deal with what was happening. And they left one of the paddy wagons unattended, and the people inside started just walking away.
One of the keys to the paddy wagon is, you know, you got to lock it.
Yeah, yeah. Or else if you don't lock it, the paddies get out.
It's not much of a, yeah, exactly, yeah. Who run?
Oh, good Lord.
Get on each other's shoulders.
I'm running about.
Hurry. I slip through the door like vapor.
Green clovers.
Shh. No more stereotypes. That'll irritate the masses.
One of those who got out was Ed the Skull Murphy.
Hey, it's gotten a little shaken.
Who was handcuffed to blonde Frankie.
Okay.
They ran to another gay bar where an S&M drag queen used her key to take the cuffs off.
Well, well, well.
I mean...
Advantage.
It's just...
Advantage.
The story's full of heroes. So those guys just took off. The paddy wagon drove off with whoever they had inside.
But just like open with one guy. I'm a cop!
Some hadn't left because they were handcuffed together, so they decided not to try and make a run for it.
That's a new reality show.
Mm-hmm. Pine told the drivers to come back as soon as they dropped off everybody at the precinct. He now had 8 plainclothes detectives with him and 1 uniformed cop. As they waited, every once in a while, they would... So they're outside.
Isn't that number off a little?
What?
Do you want 8 plainclothes while it's just you and another cop?
Okay, so they're just thinking these are gay people. They're not going to do anything.
Right.
They're
right.
Literally...
So this night is... obviously the night's taken a turn, but
they're not,
a lot of this is undercover work now, so they're just...
They're not remotely worried.
Right.
They're not even remotely... Okay. Like, this isn't a threat.
Okay. I like that attitude for our heroes.
So as they waited, every once in a while, the cops would grab someone from the crowd, pull them into the doorway, and start beating them with clubs. Totally at random. People started throwing stuff. And then Pine decided they should go into the bar. And the crowd sensed the cops were afraid. There were now around 500 to 600 people outside the Stonewall.
Yeah, I mean, and there's 10 cops?
Yeah.
I wonder why you're afraid.
The Village Voice reporter went inside the bar with the cops. They barricaded the doors and windows with tables and chairs.
A lot of people outside are saying, you guys are huge pussies. What do you think?
No. We're barricading the door.
Yeah, but because you're scared of all those people out there that you're trying to get in trouble, right, for just having a regular lifestyle?
No, we don't want to. It's to keep us in, because we...
Hey, I'm here at Stonewall, where the cops are being huge pussies and pretending like they're not. We'll be back a little later.
No.
Once we do a check-in with the Doppler.
I'm not. I'm Polish. I'm not being a pussy.
Okay. The cops down here are denying that they're pussies, but they for sure are. You can sense it on them. They are all scared. Most of them have regular clothes on. There's been a big problem here tonight.
What's happening?
Sorry. Yeah. Yep. Karen Andrews, Channel 1.
That was weird. So, I know, shake him. So the guy in the red t-shirt who earlier yelled something, threw something at the door. Then a can or a stone cracked a window. As soon as the window shattered, the crowd went for it.
It is funny that it's called the Stonewall, and they're just like, we will get through this fucker.
Pine, quote, all hell broke loose. A general assault began on the Stonewall Inn. They were using anything they could get their hands on. Garbage cans, pieces of glass, bricks, cobblestones.
This list is getting scarier. Garbage, I was like, that ain't gonna do it. The cobbler who made the stone.
Why? Oh! It's my life! Ow! To learn trade! Ooh! Pine once again called for assistance on the radio, and again he heard, quote, disregard that call.
What's going on?
I don't know.
There's 2 pines?
I don't know.
Don't be all sassy.
I don't know.
Okay, so we wait. Okay, but something's up. Hmm. Oh,
I don't know.
Wait a second.
Huh?
Pine, you devil.
Michael, quote, we all had a collective feeling like we'd had enough of this shit. It wasn't anything tangible anybody said to anyone else. It was just kind of like everything over the years had come to a head on that one particular night in that one particular place. It was spontaneous.
Talk about unrelatable. Not something I'm feeling.
No, not at all. I don't at all want to throw a trash can on fire through a window.
Fucking go grab a cobbler by his mustache right now and throw him through anything. Congress. Throw a fucking cobbler on the lawn of the White House.
Oh, fuck Kavanaugh's not nearly enough. what he needs.
Yeah.
Inspector Pine was the author of the U.S. Army's manual for hand-to-hand combat in World War II.
Wow. Well, that's quite a little update you have going on. That's not where I thought this was going. So he's just like, let's go.
He'd also been...
Does that Henry Cavill fucking fist pump from Mission Impossible? Resets him.
He had also...
This gentleman, sir, no more Rogue Gary chants from you. You're 0 for 4.
No one's joining.
You ordered nachos and chanted Gary.
Nope. Stop it. This is misbehaving. You're misbehaving. No, David, what?
You just got here.
Inspector Pine had also been the victim of a mine explosion during the war in Belgium. And he said, quote, there was never any time that I felt more scared than I felt that night. The gays are coming. Dick, quote, the people who did the most. It's his name. It's
I'm
his
above
fucking
it.
Name.
I'm above it. I'm
yeah.
above it.
You guys
I'm
are not.
A grown
it's the guy's
up.
Name.
I'm a grown up.
It's the guy's name. Stop it. Behave yourselves. The people who did the most fighting were the drag queens and the hustlers. They fought with the same veracity that they would fight with when in any situation of survival, which is essentially what this is.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
100%. As cobblestones, rocks, and bottles hit the bar, someone inside opened the door and stuck their gun out.
The door opens
a crack, and a guy just sticks his gun out. Pretty much.
Enough. Hey, back off. No more gay shit.
And he yells for people to stay back.
Quit being gay. Knock it off. Stay back. See?
Then he pulled the gun back in and closed the door.
Went pretty good out there. I think I scared a lot of them. Seemed to rattle the cage.
Hey,
yeah.
I really handled the gays.
Oh, they're freaked out. I couldn't see because I was ducked down and just had my hand out, but they're shaking. You better believe that. Cobblestone hit my hand real hard.
But the people kept battering the walls and the door, and they started to make holes. The reporter asked Pine where his reinforcements were, and Pine said he did not know. A couple of people then began to rip a parking meter outside the bar out of the ground.
Wow. Okay. They've got quarters.
They dug around it, and then they rocked it back and forth and finally ripped it loose.
It's quite a weapon.
Then a group started using it as a battering ram.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
They chanted, liberate the bar. Edmund, quote, the boys backed up to the park fence, took a flying start, ran and collided with the door as the crowd cheered wildly.
Wow. It's like Game of Thrones.
A mad black queen whirls like a dervish with a twisted piece of metal in her hand.
How
and
is
breaks
this
the
not
remaining...
a movie? How is this not a movie?
How is this not a fucking movie?
Honestly.
It's such a good movie. A mad black queen whirls like a dervish with a twisted piece of metal in her hand and breaks the remaining windows. At this point, it became about getting back into the bar. They wanted to reclaim what was taken from them.
That, by the way, I mean, that's all it is. You're just like, we're just having a good fucking time. Fuck all. I mean, literally, you're like, just let us go back into the bar.
Well, it's one of those times, which we are about to have in a couple days, where you have to make a point.
It's going to be tough, though. They really solidify those in concrete.
And protesting isn't enough. At some point, you have to make a point. Mike quote, everyone having to live this life where we had to sneak in and all that stuff, and then the place that everybody likes to have it taken away in such a brutal way, we want to try and rectify this somehow to make it right and get it back. With another battering ram hit, the doors swung wide open.
Okay, there's 10 cops in there who are like, nah, they're in.
So this is not what we were expecting.
All right, gentlemen.
I usually just get to fuck
look,
with them.
All right, everyone
I
chill
hit
out.
The side of the truck,
there
and
are
I come
600
out and I hit
them
with a stick.
There are
they don't not, do this!
There's two of us dressed. There's 8 of us in casual clothing, which, by the way, whoopsie. That's what I do if I'm a plainclothes cop, by the way. Right away, as soon as they come in, I'm like, yeah, move it, cop. Out of here.
So the doors swing open. The people start throwing bottles and beer cans inside. Pine and his men rush to shut the doors. People started hitting the windows with the parking meter. Because remember, the windows are boarded up, right? So now they're trying to bang.
But remember,
that.
A parking meter is really heavy.
Yeah. One of the big plywood windows gave in. Inside, the reporter thought it was inevitable that the mob would pour into the bar. The cops checked their guns. Inspector Pine. It was at this point that I realized that my men were very nervous.
Yeah.
And I was very apprehensive. The crowd started to throw Molotov cocktails.
Ooh. 2-for-1 at the Stonewall.
Pine, quote, there were bottles that came in and exploded with some kind of flame, and we were able to put those out with the fire hose that we had.
Whoa, who knew about that?
Well, so I guess back then there would be a fire hose in each business, but that's how it seems.
Not crazy. They still have that in some hotels where you're like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
If you see it, spray it. No.
We were very worried because we didn't know how long we could put these Molotov cocktails out because they seemed to be gasoline and what we had was water.
So this is the invention of the Molotov because they're like, we're not sure what it was, but it was a drink that was flaming. It was hard to predict. Fire was in a bottle. We've never seen anything like it. Water would affect it. Yes. Welcome back to Firsts.
And they kept calling on the radio for assistance. But each time they heard, quote, disregard that call.
What is he fucking doing? I've got theories.
Someone in the crowd had discovered their frequency and had a radio.
Not among my theories.
We have another hero.
Yeah.
Every time the cops called, they would tell the other cops to disregard.
Cancel that. Sorry. I don't know what is going on with me tonight. I am just calling in for patties and saying not to send them. I'm all over the map. But cancel that last one, too. Also, I'm probably going to order a bunch more. Go ahead and disregard that.
Also, someone had cut the phone lines so they couldn't use the phones inside.
Oh, my God. So you're... The phone's dead.
The
call's coming from inside the bar.
The cops lined up with their guns out. Pine ordered them not to shoot until he did.
But by the way, they have revolvers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they are outnumbered even bullet-wise tremendously.
Oh, yeah. If people come in, they're fucking
right.
dead. Like, if it
yeah.
turns into an actual thing, they have no chance. I
right.
mean, people will get killed, but so will they.
Yeah, something yeah. to remember in the future.
Pine ordered his officers not to shoot until he did. He walked up to each cop, put his hand on their shoulder, looked them in the eye, and said their name, and then, quote, you're not going to shoot until I tell you to, okay?
Hey, is it just me or is Chief terrible at pep talks? Eric Anderson. Don't shoot. Fuck.
Inspector Pine did not want anyone to get killed. He thought this was all over nothing. The crime they were arresting people for, in his eyes, was not worth anyone losing their lives. But it is.
Well, if you draw a line in the sand and then are like, oh shit, they're crossing it, what's the big deal? It's like, yeah, well, fuck you. Don't draw lines.
If you're making people not live their life and to be ashamed of who they are and to live in a cave, that is something to die over.
The legal enforcement of taste is something that never seems to get out of our fucking culture. It's like if it happens in a room where it has no impact on you, whether it's drugs, whether it's fucking, whatever the fuck it is, who gives a shit? Honestly. Like, but this, it seems to be constantly just how law enforcement makes fucking money. Is just to tell you that smoking weed is illegal, tell you that fucking someone of your same sex is illegal, and then they make fucking money from you. And we keep finding new ways to enforce more bullshit.
Yeah. All right. So, Pine, quote, I was afraid that's what was going to happen. I don't think there was anybody there who wasn't really perspiring. I mean, really sweating.
If you put a finer point on it, people are sweating.
Pine yelled at his men that if anyone shot, they'd be patrolling the worst beat on Staten Island for the rest of their career.
Whoa.
Now I understand why you're fighting. Before, no clue. Now you're in a pickle. I understand why you're fighting. You're like, what? No. What? Oh. No.
One of the cops was stationed at the entrance of the bar, and he lost his shit and threw his pistol into the crowd.
Hey, Sarge.
How's watch going?
Great.
Yeah, great. Really good. Where's your gun?
Yeah, this is why I'm here.
Yeah, they were awful out there. Of course they are. That's why we're going to fight them. We're going to show them.
Yeah.
So they was, you said not to shoot. Of course not. Why would you shoot? Wait till I shoot.
Yeah.
Which I did. But I didn't, I wanted to harm them. Why? They were scary. So I threw something at them.
Well, what'd you throw?
Gun. What, you threw what at them? My gun. To them?
Yeah.
Was it loaded?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was waiting for you. So they're fucking armed?
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yes, they are. They have a gun. My gun. And we're down a gun.
Outside, Danny quote, it was like being in a war. People were crying. People were cut up. I mean, people would throw bricks, but it didn't always hit a cop. Sometimes you'd hit another queen, so you didn't know when you saw someone cut, were they cut because of the cop hit the guy, or were they cut because of running and falling or getting hit with a brick or what?
Wow.
It's just fucking chaos. The police found a vent in the back near the roof. They were able to get the smallest of the policewomen through. Pine told her to climb down and go to the firehouse on the next block. The reporter, quote, the detectives located a fire hose but can't see where to aim it. So they're trying to shoot the crowd, but they can't figure out how to aim it. Wedging the hose in a crack in the door, it sends out a weak stream. We all start to slip on the water.
Are these the Nine Stooges? Okay, good. So we'll create a bunch of puddles. Let's throw our guns at them. That seemed to be stronger.
The street kids were running around in the spray for a minute, and then one shouted, grab it! Grab his cock! Pine told them to stop with the hose.
Cut the water. Water. I heard something I don't like.
So I'm going to... At this point, it talks a lot about kids because I think young gay kids really sort of took over at this point. Now, the front door was broken down, so kids grabbed trash cans, dumped the garbage in the door, then squirted it with lighter fluid and set it on fire.
See, this is why you need the new generation to come back up with the latest technology.
There were now huge flashes of flame and billows of smoke. The fire burned where the coat room was. The cops ran to put the fires out, but each time one started, but they had to dodge bricks flying through the air while they did. Pine was getting worried that they might actually have to shoot.
Well, he's probably like, where are those 9 paddy wagons?
Yeah, we keep calling for the paddy wagon. Disregard
4 hours
call.
Ago, I called for 9 paddies.
Quote, then, as luck would have it, that's when we heard the sirens. 2 fire engines pulled up.
Full of gay men. Nice try, officer. Oh, no.
They were there with the paddy wagon that Pine had told to hurry back. Cops from the 6th precinct arrived and started moving the crowd away from the doors. Police cars from the 4th, 5th, and 10th precincts arrived. Pine decided to load the remaining prisoners into the paddy wagon. He had them marched out of the Stonewall to the wagon, which was now on the corner. Pine. Even though we had just had all this trouble from all...
Yeah.
This is the most incredible sentence of all.
Even though
we had just had all this trouble from these docile homosexuals who weren't docile anymore, we still didn't think that anybody wouldn't go peacefully.
Dude literally got a word of the day calendar and docile was on this day. It's a docile situation until it became non-docile.
Just the fucking lack of understanding humanity is insane.
Yeah, no. Normally, you don't have to earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were not going to go peacefully, as very much established. Fights erupted with the drag queens who refused to go into the wagon. Drag queens who were not in the Stonewall rushed over to start fighting the cops. Quote, things were still flying through the air. Uproar, I mean just screaming and yelling and sirens. The riot police arrived in 2 buses. Bob, quote, I had been in enough riots to know who says that. Fucking Bob.
You're experienced rioter.
I had been in enough riots to know that the fun was over. These guys... Hey, guys, I'm pretty experienced here, and this is usually when the fun's over.
This turned. It took a turn.
Good times to wrap up.
By the way, knowing when to leave a riot at the right time, key.
That's right. These guys had helmets and lived to break heads. The cops were totally humiliated. This had never, ever happened. They were angrier than I guess they had ever been because everybody else had rioted. Everybody in America who had a beef had already rioted. But the fairies were not supposed to riot, and nobody else had ever won. The cops realized that just by having to call in reinforcements, just by barricading, no other group had ever forced cops to retreat before, so the anger was enormous. I mean, they wanted to kill us.
Wonder why.
Inspector Pine said, quote, they were not gentle.
This dude's a fucking idiot, right? It's just...
He's talking about the cops. They saw the damage that was done to the place, and we had this policewoman tell them they were throwing firebombs in there, and so they were prepared for real action. Pine was done, quote, and that's when we took off. That's where my job ended.
No, Pine, it does not work like that.
Hey, good luck, guys.
I don't think you get to call your own off duties during riots. All right, gentlemen, that's my day.
So I'm done here. I did my thing where I started a riot. I'm going to take off.
That's where you just do the blackjack thing where you're just like...
Oh!
Walk away. It's close.
Riot police came down Christopher Street in a V-wedge.
In a V-wedge?
The mob backed up.
Something the gay people will not like.
The V-wedge?
Yeah.
Oh, Gareth. The mob backed up while a bunch of them ran around behind the cops. The riot cops assumed...
I can't believe they are, like, employing, like, military tactics at this point. They're like, then we sweep. Swinging door.
They still think in their heads... Well, these are gay people, so if we just do our thing...
They'll get it.
...that they've been doing, they'll scatter.
Right.
So the riot cops are here now, and they're like, we're going to do the same thing.
Seems effective.
A bunch of them ran around behind the cops. The riot cops assumed they would show up with their billy clubs. Bill, quote, and then the faggots will go home and that will be the end of it. But it wasn't the end of it. The cops chased the crowds and the crowds would reform, throw bottles, and chant. People resented that they were trying to clear the streets. Billy, quote, because it came down to whose streets are these? There are streets, and you cops are not from this area. This is our area. It's gay people's streets. That's like a brave. It's like a Braveheart speech.
Yeah.
The geography of the village is not a grid. It's very confusing. I mean, how many times have you walked in the village and been like, where in the fuck am I right now? So imagine a riot happening now. Like,
damn,
I used
it,
to
we're
get
lost.
Out of the fucking subway
we're
and be like,
again.
I'm walking to the Comedy Cellar. Oh, no, I'm not.
Shit. Where's Bleecker? Fuck. I don't just... even.
So
no,
to...
it curved. Doesn't it curve? Okay, wait. Let's. Okay. Shit.
I mean, so now imagine having a fucking riot there.
Yeah, like... you're like looking for your riot.
Jesus. Soon the cops were running back and forth as kids would draw them in different directions. They kept the cops on the run constantly. And then at one point, the kids linked arms around one another and kicked Rockette style while singing.
Wow.
I mean, while singing, we are the Stonewall Girls. We wear our hats in curls. We wear no underwear. We show our pubic hair. And so, just imagine how fucking angry the cops were. Like, losing their fucking mind.
It's like...
Ed, quote...
I mean, imagine, like, police training the next year. You're like, ah, there's a lot of new stuff we're teaching. Different manual this year, boys. Not what it used to be.
Ed, quote, these queens all of a sudden rolled up their pants legs into knickers. There must have been about 10 cops one way and about 20 queens on the other side. They all put their arms around one another and started forming a kick line, and the cops just charged with their nightsticks and started smacking them in the head, hitting people, pulling them in a car. I can't get that out of my sight. The cops with the nightsticks and the kick line on the other side. It was the most amazing thing.
Wow.
The chorus line made the cops more angry.
Really?
But the kids would appear behind them and do the rocket kick chorus line again and again.
Driving them crazy.
Well, I mean, the thing... Like, I've had this experience many times in my life where I've been in a situation with, like, a frat guy and about to get in a fight, and I just start fucking with him and mocking him, and they don't know what to... Like, their brains explode. And so these guys just instinctively knew that, like, we are making these cops' brains
right,
explode.
Yeah.
Like, they literally had no fucking idea what was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, the greatest... To not show fear and to fuck with them in that way just... Like meltdown. They all went home and just cried in their wives' laps that night. Like, it's just not supposed to be like this. So it goes on over and over. The kids are playing cat and mouse with the police.
Cat and mouse
is totally different.
Not very fun.
So because it's the village, there's absolutely no way to contain them. The cops went wild. People had nothing to do with it. Started being beaten. Someone would show up and ask what was happening, and they'd be beaten. A guy was walking out of the street with his girlfriend. Cops just came up behind him and split his head open. They attacked anything and everything. By the way, if you've ever been in a riot or near a riot, this is so fucking common. When I was living in Santa Barbara, there was a riot. The police went nuts. My friend is in his apartment putting peanut butter on toast. A cop kicks in his door and hits him in the face with a billy club and runs out. That's what cops do in riots.
What kind
That's
of
how
butter?
They handle riots. That's what they do. On Waverly Place, a crowd of 100 people were being chased by two cops when they realized they had vastly outnumbered them. So they turned around and started chasing the cops, yelling, catch them, fuck them.
Holy shit, we didn't train for this!
Throw your gun. Throw your gun. Throw your guns.
Is that guy a cop? They burned trash cans, they broke store windows, and looked for other stuff to throw. Eventually, it started to peter out, cops. By 4 a.m., everyone was exhausted. The next day, Christopher Street was empty except for cops. They stood around the stone wall, the windows were boarded back up and painted black. But word spread to the gay community throughout the city. Many who had missed it the night before came the next night, and it started up again.
By the way, if you heard you missed it, you'd be like, I want in.
Oh, fuck, I want in.
It's time.
Holy shit, do I want
in. Let's go.
This time, there were a couple thousand people. And it was a big night because gay people were openly holding hands and kissing on the street and asserting that they were gay on the streets openly. In the space of 2 days, they had gone from being behind darkened windows to making out in the street. Craig. Wow. Craig, quote, and even the old queens came out just to walk around the block to see what in the hell was going on.
It's just nice to see where we are.
Yes. Finally.
Oh, yeah. No.
This is a horrible old man.
My body's rejecting my bones. Ooh. But I wanted to come see. Ooh. I sound haunted. I'm not at all. No. Ow. Ah. No. Skin's an issue. I'm dying. This is my last vision. Yay! No.
The riots went on for another 3 days. Nothing was the same after. A new gay activist group was formed, the Gay Liberation Front. They held dances at non-mafia-run locations. They raised money that went to gay causes. They tried to place an ad for a dance in the Village Voice, but were told that the newspaper's policy was to, quote, refrain from printing obscene words in classified ads.
Such as?
The Village Voice staff had decided gay was equatable with fuck and other four-letter words. The Gay Liberation Front then picketed the Village Voice. They were asked to come inside and then scolded when they got inside. Quote, how could the group have chosen the so liberal voice as a target? But the voice ended up changing their ad policy and began printing the gay words.
That's why.
And homosexual and gay in classified ads.
Yeah.
The Stonewall riots jump-started countless gay activist groups. The Stonewall Inn closed 3 months later after the riots of October.
Under new management. We're a steakhouse. So we're trying to get that old. All right. People are still fucking all over the steakhouse, FYI. Let's just say there's no coats in the coat room.
Christopher Street Liberation Day was held on June 28, 1970, to mark the first anniversary of the Stonewall riots with a march on Christopher Street. There were simultaneous gay pride marches in Los Angeles and San Francisco. These were the first gay pride marches in U.S. history. In June 1999, the U.S. Department of the Interior designated the Stonewall Inn a National Historic Landmark. The Stonewall Inn was reopened as a bar in 2007. There is no federal legislation that exists to protect the rights of gay Americans. And now we have a monster that's going to put on the Supreme Court. And protesting is not enough because that hasn't worked.
I think. Not.
No. What needs to happen is if they put him on the court, everybody needs to go to every courthouse in the country and surround it and put your bodies around it and say, if there is no law for us, there is no law for you.
It also is so, what's so fucked up about now is that it's like we have taken for granted how much work and sacrifice it takes a lot of times to get the little bit of progress that we get, and then you see how easy it is to just yank it away. And that's part of the problem is that we, you know, everybody forgets how important that shit is and how hard it is to get back. And we're at a point now where we're almost like a page one rewrite, and it's like, we got to go fucking ape shit. And it's a lot. I mean, we're talking about, like, it is, yeah, we, like, have peaked as far as, like, being open and fair. We've peaked in this country. We are on the down, and it's going to take some crazy shit to undo that.
Yeah, a lot of people sacrificed a lot.
Yeah, even that. I mean, you think of that, like, that, you know, that mentality, that idea of, like, I don't give a fuck if a brick hits my head.
Yeah.
You've got to be in that place. It needs to get to that point, and I don't know how far away we are.
If they're putting a rapist on the Supreme Court, are we not at that place?
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, we've been at that place for a while, but this is truly like where it's like, it's fucking over. I mean, this is too much shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure, but it's not going to be fucking easy.
Anyway.
Well, what a fun note to end on. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Appreciate it. Vote. Do all that shit. Thank you guys so much. Really. We'll be back.